This is Real Talk on 91.3 FM.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to it. The time now at 6 minutes after 8 on this beautiful Friday evening, wherever you find yourself. We do hope that you are doing absolutely fantastic, inshallah ta'ala. Big shout out to Mr. or Miss Sadia Arnold, all the way from Strand, giving us a heads up there to 6896, engaging with us, they say. And now that lawyer claims that George Floyd died of using drugs and all natural causes, even though the whole world saw what really happened. And this person is, of course, commenting on the George Floyd murder trial, which is currently underway, with Mr. Derek Chauvin there facing 3 different charges, including murder and manslaughter. And that was actually something very interesting. My beautiful colleague here is rushing me on. She's like, no. Don't get into it. But of course, the reason she's rushing me, my beloveds, is because we want to get into our next topic of discussion. And a little bit earlier on in the show, we had been asking you the question, as a Muslim, what is your take on music? And before we get into the comments that we got or the responses that we got on social media, inshallah ta'ala, and your responses can start coming in, of course, on 0829-913-913 on the WhatsApp. We want to explain to you what kind of sparked this. So a little bit early on in the week, I think it was on Tuesday, Anika and I was shook. Is the word us youngsters use, after we saw that Nike, the brand of shoes, had lambasted and condemned one of the artists. He kind of like used the brand.
Yes.
And he made a specific type of shoe. Sister, tell us about the shoe, please.
Yes, so the rapper that Toyra is referencing is Little Nas X. So we know him as, or I know him as, the singer that did Old Town Road with Billy Ray Cyrus. So yes, a United States federal judge ruled in favor of Nike, because Little Nas, in conjunction with a company called Mischief, they had used the Nike Air Max 97 sneakers, and they've customized 666 pairs of those shoes, and apparently, Tahira, they added a human drop of blood in the midsoles, and they printed a biblical verse, Luke 10:18, which references Satan's fall from heaven. And we know that these custom shoes were sold for $1,018 each, making reference to that verse that I just mentioned. So obviously Nike came out and was like, whoa, I mean, these shoes are now being deemed, or dubbed rather, the Satan shoes. And we know that Lil Nas, in collaboration with Mischief, had created or modified these Nikes to sort of promote his most recent song called Montero, Call Me By Your Name. And I don't know if you've seen the music video, but the themes and the tones of that music video is very devilish.
And of course, we saw also that the post that the artist had gotten a lot of support on social media regarding his quote-unquote artistry that had come through in it. And part of it was the way that religion demonizes anything, any part rather, of the LGBTIQ community.
Plus
community, yes. So he was kind of taking ownership of this, and he was saying, you know what, if you're going to send us to hell, we are going to go there and we are going to own it. And of course, the music itself is what we wanted to find out in terms of our Islamic perspective, you know. And music videos in general have deteriorated in the quality. And, you know, when you turn on the TV, it's just what you see is just, it shakes you. So it's literally, sometimes it's not even that soft, my sister. It's like outright blatant, you know?
Yeah, because I remember when I was, I think, in grade 2, my mother actually banned me and my brother from watching MTV, because she said no one's watching soft porn in my house. So I got such a culture shock when I turned on the TV more recently, I think it was last year, and I saw literal naked genitals in this music video, and I was like, how far have we come? Like, I wasn't allowed to see someone's midriff, but now we are seeing, you know, complete chest being exposed. So it is something to think about, and that is exactly exactly why we feel like tonight we ask you as a Muslim, what is your take on music? Because we know there are many different branches and avenues that come with listening to the music.
Absolutely. And it's not just as simple as the music. But yes, heading on to the commentary that we got, inshallah ta'ala. And do remember, 0829913913, we do welcome your engagement, inshallah. Mr. Herdin said that some Muslims believe that only vocal music is permissible or halal, and that instruments are forbidden, as in haram. Yet some Muslims believe that any instrument is lawful as long as it is used for the permissible kind of music. Hence, there is a long tradition of instrumental accompaniment to devotional songs. Then another brother of ours says that, Mr. Kamaldeen says, it distracts you from reality, indoctrinates and influences you, believing in a fake world and expecting the same in reality. It influences people's emotions and thoughts. I believe music is haram for the above reasons, and also believe there's better things to listen to. Even some so-called Muslim radio stations play music glorifying Allah. It doesn't make it right. There is clear hadiths mentioning what instruments is permissible to use and when only to use them.
Mm-hmm. Then we see that Mr. Samsudin says it depends on how you listen to it. Like, I listen to all types of music, depends on my mindset or what I'm doing, but that's at the moment. Music doesn't influence my daily life. Mm. And then we also see Hussein says, in his opinion, music is not haram if it intoxicates your mind, either by causing you to do harm to yourself or others, sexually frustrates you, or just vulgarity, then it is haram. But we are born with music. The first song we hear is Lub Dub, the heartbeat of our mothers, in which is a soothing comfort and connection between the mother and baby. I didn't even think about it that way.
That's so beautiful, mashallah. And then 6896 rather made a comment and mentioned that the sneakers by Lil Nas had apparently sold out in the first hour, which, by the way, let me just point out the, again, you know, the amount of support that this artist is getting, you know, it's quite indicative of perhaps how far gone we are as a society. You know, if something of that nature is so willingly accepted, and then religion literally gets thrown into the back seat. But 6896 also says music in Islam, some would say no, we shouldn't be listening to music, and some would agree. But remember that we have the coons and the Malay choirs. And then 2981 also says music is haram. There's no way to bend it to suit our likes.
Just want to make reference to the message that you were saying, Tahira, about the, you know, like, I feel like we've moved so far and so quickly, because if I think about Lady Gaga and the type of music that she made, and if I think specifically about one of her music videos, Alejandro, I mean, she was lambasted, if you want to use the word. She was bashed completely. They called her the devil. They called her Satan. And that was 2010. Over the span of 10 years, it's taken us, it's such a quick period where we stopped sort of demonizing these people, and now we are glorifying them. And it freaks me out, because I'm so worried about our nieces, our nephews, our children's, how, you know, the future, what it's going to be like for them, and how difficult it is going to be for them to, you know, be able to hold on to that rope of faith and that rope of Allah. So may Allah make it easy for us, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. And all of us, you know, and even us that are aspiring parents, even us that are currently parents, it is something that our community, inshallah, and Anika and I, we will hopefully be hosting numerous conversations about this. We need to be realistic about this. This is something that we need to tackle head on. Our children and our fellow colleagues and people our age, the youth, in other words, you know, we are faced with this on a regular basis. And if we are not guided, if we are not given the proper, you know, support in order to deal with it effectively, who knows how it will influence us. But yes, before Anika and I got carried away, Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous says, I like music. I know it's haram. Music also has a way of taking you back. I once heard a lecture of how we associate songs to memory, and sometimes those memories aren't always halal. Habi says, one day, inshallah, we will get music out of us and be so into Islam. And I'm like, but I ain't ready. I don't feel like I want to give up music yet. And he says, make dua. And then Mr. Adib says, hectic grey topic. Sounds will always apply to the ear, so music will always play a role in people's lives. However, if you play Siara past the mosque in Taronga Road, you will be judged by some.
So specific.
Yeah. The 99 names of Allah. Solo, which comes on another radio as an advert, which I've been hearing since I was a child. So I grew up with that tone in my head. If that is played in close to God and center side, you'll also be judged. So I guess listen to your own good music or tunes that applies to your ear in a positive note, and not that new stuff that's happening with Nike, with Blood in the Shoes and Hooter, says he. Also, Mr. Webb says music, we have to establish what is music. My understanding is that music is any rhythmic sounds, birds chirping, someone humming, literally anything can become music. So how can quote-unquote music be haram? However, modern-day music, such as hip-hop, heavy metal, etc., a lot of these genres has haram messages and could be very distracting and persuasive in a negative sense. So I feel that it depends on what type of music you listen to.
Absolutely. But I think that, yes, many people have agreed that it is a great topic. I've seen a comment on my social media pages saying that the sister believes that the Quran and music cannot live in the same heart. And I think that is something to take into consideration, because she's saying, you know, you have to think about nasheeds. Can this be played in the masjid? I think that is something that a lot of people have taken into consideration. But before we delve into too much, we do know that Sheikh Fakhri Din Uwaisi will be online with us, as well as Sheikh Zaid Fattar, and they will be giving us the consensus as shuyukh, because like Tahira and I, we are not experts, and we are just doing our best to make you aware of the issues at hand.
Definitely, inshallah. And with that note, let's take a quick ad break, and when we get back, we'll continue the conversation. It's Real Talk.
This is Real Talk. On 91.3 FM.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are still listening to Real Talk on the Voice of the Cape Radio. And online with us, we have Sheikh Zaid Fattar, who will be giving us the, I think, the pros or the cons of listening to music, because our conversation tonight is, as a Muslim, what is your take on music as a Muslim? We do know that it is sort of a grey area topic, so we needed a Sheikh to give us the advice that we need. So assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Zaid Fattar, and shukran so much for joining us.
For the opportunity. It's an honor for me, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. You are speaking with Sister Aniko.
But I am here also, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair for joining us.
Awesome.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Sheikh, what reference does the Quran and Sunnah make to music and instruments?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. First and foremost, to all the listeners of Voice of the Cape, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. When we look at our deen, we understand that our deen is a deen that is, it accommodates for many things. It basically also, you know, understands culture, it understands tradition, it understands many things, but our deen, of course, is the filter of what the human being find themselves doing on their day-to-day duties and whatever they do. So, with that in mind, again, is that our deen speaks on different levels and speaks about different things. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the hadith, al-halalu bayn wal-haramu bayn wa baynahuma mushtabihat, that halal is very clear, haram is very clear, and between those areas, there are certain things that are gray, that are not necessarily clear, but open to interpretation. But then the Nabi alayhi sallam says, فَمَا اتَّقَ شُبَهَاتْ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعَرْضِهِ. So whoever can prevent themselves from falling into those gray areas, those areas that does not have an absolute interpretation, then the person is protecting their deen and they are protecting their dignity. Now, when we come to the issue of music, we find that in the Arabic language, there's many different words that are used in order to describe what we contemporarily know as music. You have the word al-ghina, which can literally translate into songs, and music meaning musiqa. And the ikhtilaf between the two is based upon a hadith that at times can be open to interpretation, but the ayah that we are speaking specifically about, definitely, it's not absolutely clear whether it is halal or haram, but again, we look at the Quran and we understand it through the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So we find that many ulama, like Imam al-Qurtubi, like Abu Tayyib al-Tabari, Ibn Salah, Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Raj al-Hanbali, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, and many other ulama that are considered that music in its entirety is haram. So we're talking about the musical instruments, we're talking about the different things and people use, maybe the flute, maybe the guitar, all of these different musical instruments is considered as haram based upon the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You find that there are people that will buy certain things or purchase certain things of lahu. And we're going to get to the meaning now. Lahu, but what is the whole objective of them purchasing these things? لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That it will cause them to go astray. So the main and focus and the objective of these particular things that are being purchased is to take the person away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that it takes him away or her away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leading them to the disobedience. Now the word lahu, the ulama had debated, what does lahu mean that Allah's speaking about that we're purchasing here? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, of course we know who is Ibn Abbas, Habr al-Ummah, the ink of the Ummah, the Rabbi alayhi salam made so many du'as for him, and he was known as Habr al-Ummah in the sense of that he truly had deep understandings of many things, and he could understand things at a very young age. And I mean, when we think about the ulama of Sahaba, he is on the top of the ulama of Sahaba, ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in. So he understood that the word lahu means music, but lahu actually means entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about something that entertains an individual to a degree that causes him to fall off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It causes him to be influenced to do haram and what so and so on like that. So he looked at it immediately as musiqa. And of course, he had been based his understanding upon many hadith. Of those hadith that the ulama had quoted is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where the Rabbi alayhi wa sallam mentions about a time where there will be with people, لا شربنا قوم الناس من أمة الخمر يسمونها بغير اسمها يعزف على رؤوسهم بالمعازي. So Rabbi alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that is mentioned by Ibn Majah, that Abi Malik al-Ash'ari, right, he says that the Rabbi alayhi wa sallam said, there will come a time where people will drink khamr and they will call it something else. They won't necessarily term it as khamr, but in its essence, what it's made out of and the intoxication that happens with it, it will be khamr. But they will call it by a different name. And the Nabi alayhi wa sallam also says, وَيُعْزَفُ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ بِالْمَعَازِمِ. And there will be instruments that will be used that will be upon their heads, meaning that they are going to use the instruments to further intoxicate themselves. Further, you know, how can I say, people use this word trance. Mm-hmm. And we know that music can cause a person to go in a trance. You're not conscious necessarily. Depends on, of course, the type of music that a person learns to. And many other hadith of the Nabi alayhi wa sallam as well speaks about this, the ma'azid, the instruments that is used and so forth. On the other hand, and of course tonight, I'm not going to give a complete fatwa because as you mentioned, Mr. Anika, that this is a debated issue. But I felt that it's important to give both sides of the story. And at the end of the day, we are all mukallaf ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable for what we decide and what we choose to do. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, some of the ulama had looked at these particular ayat in a manner that it's open to interpretation, because when you look at the word lahu, we understand it to be entertainment. So for that, anything then that is entertaining, that can cause a person to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can be considered as haram. But is it necessarily music itself? Might not be. There's a possibility that I can merely just listen to words that a person is reciting in poetry without any musical instruments, and it can still cause me to, you know, go astray or find myself in haram and so forth. So they looked at the ayah that was used, that it's not direct, you know, it's not an absolute interpretation that we can extract. And they based also the understanding of looking at music as something that is permissible, depending on what is the objective of that music, is where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is mentioned by Bukhari and Muslim, that Sayyid Aisha radiallahu anha says, دخل علي أبو بكر. Sayyid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu entered into the chambers of Sayyid Aisha radiallahu anha, and she had two of the servant girls that was singing and so forth, and they were not necessarily singing Islamic religious poetry, but it was you know, it was about these celebrations and so forth, and the Nabi alayhi sallam did not stop them from doing that. In another hadith, the Nabi alayhi sallam, Sayyid Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Nabi alayhi sallam asked the question, says, مَا كَانَ مَعَكُم مِنْ لَهُ فَإِنَّ الْأَنصَارِ يُعْجِبُهُمُ اللَّهُ. This is related by Imam Bukhari, Muslim, and Imam Ahmad. That the Nabi alayhi sallam asked, what do you have of lahu? Now remember, we said lahu means entertainment. Mm-hmm. There we go. So now the Nabi is asking them, who has lahu here? And then the Nabi alayhi salam says, فَإِنَّ الْأَمْصَارِ يُعْجِبُهُمُ اللَّهُ. The people of Madinatul Munawwara, they love lahu. So now, how do we understand the word lahu? In one case, we find it looked at, yani frowned upon. And in the other case, according to this hadith, we find that the Nabi alayhi salam saying that, look, this is something that, you know, amazes it. This is something that, you know, entertains them and so forth. And that's why we find this debate between the ulama. Some of the ulama that considered as permissible, like Ibn Hazm, one of the great scholars of our deen, and also muhaddith and person of hadith, he looked at the hadith that the, let me say, the other party had used as a hadith that's not necessarily completely sahih. But again, this is a human-made science. When we look at what hadith is sahih compared to what hadith is da'if, it is based upon the conditions of the narrator himself and how does he look at hadith. Does he add more conditions, etc.? So it's a very subjective thing.
Before we go, we just quickly like to ask, you know, what do we know about using Allah's name alongside instruments and melodies?
Well, I mean, again, it's one thing to look at it from a Shari'i point of view. Then it's another thing to look at it from an ethical point of view. At the end of the day, our adab with each other has to be on such a daraja that there is absolute respect and absolute honor and dignity towards each other. Mm-hmm. Now, what more so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are a deen that encourages adab and akhlaq, and so more so we need to do it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. So if it is something, and I always do this to myself, I ask myself the question, if the Nabi was literally in front of me right now, will I do this? Or will I feel ashamed? Or will I feel embarrassed? How will I feel if he was standing right in front of me? And that's where your consciousness kicks in. So from a moral aspect, I wouldn't advise it, but from a Shari'i point of view, like we said, it is a grey area where the ulama had differed upon.
Absolutely. Shukran so much, Sheikh Zayd Fattar, for allowing yourself to come on Aeon Real Talk this evening and just enlightening us a bit further and teaching us a new word. I never knew that lahu meant entertainment. So, shukran so much, and may Allah increase you, inshallah.
Ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And with that, we head out for a quick ad break. And when we get back, we talk
sister, we needn't go for an ad break.
Oh, okay.
We needn't. I do think, inshallah ta'ala, we will just head on to the conversation for a slightly different perspective. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Firstly, to Sheikh Fakhruddin Uwaisi, who is joining us online. Sheikh, welcome to Real Talk. We appreciate your time, inshallah ta'ala.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran for the opportunity.
Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, right off the bat, we want to know this evening, is music permissible in Islam?
The answer to that is simple. If it is good music, then it's permissible. If it's bad music, it's not permissible. If you want it in one line, that's the answer in one line. If you want me to explain further, I can do that.
Yes, inshallah, tafattal, Sheikh.
So, basically, I mean, what is music made up of, right? It's poetry, you know, anything that rhymes, and then it's songs, to sing it with a melody, you know. And the third aspect is using instruments. That is music. A rhyming song, To sing it in a tune, in a nice melody, and then to use instruments in it, right? This is what makes what you call music. Mm-hmm. Now, so the first thing is the rhyming sounds poetry. Poetry is absolutely permissible in Islam, and the Sahaba used to write poetry. They used to read it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he liked poetry. I mean, he liked listening to it. So poetry is absolutely permissible in Islam. To write a song is permissible in Islam, as long as the contents of the song are fine. So if the content of the song is swearing and cursing, then even if it wasn't rhyming, it would be haram. Even if there were no musical instruments attached, it would still be haram. But if the content of the poem is something permissible or something recommended, like praising Allah and His Prophet, the Deen, or praising your mother, a song about your country, or you miss somebody you love in a halal manner, express your feelings, then there's nothing wrong in that. That is permissible content. Mm. So poetry is permissible in Islam. Now the second part is singing it in a melodious tune, right? Now that also is permissible. Even the Quran, we are recommended to read it in a melodious tune. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that laysa minna man lam yataghanna bil Quran. The one who doesn't sing the Quran is not one of us. So melody is permissible in Islam, the Sahaba wouldn't only read poetry, they would sing it. And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would travel with his Sahaba on trips, he actually had singers. He had Sahabas who used to sing for the camels and to entertain the travelers. But beautiful, halal things, you know, very pure, nothing vulgar, nothing obscene, nothing racist and violent, just nice songs. There was one of them was a very famous person, by the way, Anjasha radiallahu anh, who used to sing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the camels actually, they move faster when you would sing for them. So singing is also permissible in Islam. Now, the third part is the most contentious part, musical instruments. You'll find people who will sing nasheeds and stuff, but they'll say, but you can't use instruments. Now, with regards to musical instruments, there is a difference of opinion amongst ulama. There are three camps. There is one camp, which is the most extreme, which believes all musical instruments are haram. Any musical instrument at all is not allowed in Islam. That is one extreme. And then you have those who say some musical instruments are allowed, like the duff, the tambourine, the drum, because these were used in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came to Medina, the Sahaba were singing Tala al-Badru alayn, beating the drums, the duff, you know. And there were Sahaba who sang and used it. So the duff is allowed, but you shouldn't use other instruments like with strings. Guitars or pianos and violins. So this is one opinion, that you can use the drums and stuff, but you shouldn't use stringed instruments. The third opinion, which is shared by the likes of Imam Al-Ghazali, Imam Ibn Hazm, and a lot of the scholars as well, from the time of the Sahaba as well, is that all musical instruments are haram, for the simple reason that there is no evidence, authentic evidence for their prohibition. If you want to declare something haram, you need to prove it from the Quran, that the Quran calls it haram, or you need to provide an authentic saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the Quran, I mean, doesn't speak at all about music. It does not prohibit any musical instruments at all. It doesn't mention them. The Quran mentions wine. The Quran mentions gambling. The Quran mentions pork. The Quran mentions animals you shouldn't eat, but it does not mention anything about musical instruments, even though musical instruments existed at that time. But it doesn't. Yes. So the Quran is silent on it. So if Allah really wanted to call it haram, he would have said it in the Quran. He didn't. Okay, but what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about it? Now, usually some people provide a few ahadith that condemn musical instruments and so on. But these ahadith are either very weak, in other words, they are not authentic. We're not sure the Prophet said that. So they don't really make strong evidence. Or the wordings are vague, where the Prophet like condemns singers. But then what type of singers is he condemning? He's not condemning the Sahaba that was singing nasheed for him and beating drums. He was condemning people who sing vulgar songs and mixed gatherings of men and women and wine. So from a hadith point of view also, you don't find any real evidence that any musical instrument is haram. That's why Imam Ghazali and others considered all musical instruments as halal. So they brought the whole debate down to one point only, the content. Yes. The content of the song. If the content and performance of the song is halal, the person is dressed properly, it's not some naked, woman dancing with all kinds of vulgar poses like you see in the music videos of today. And that is obviously haram. You know, even if there was no song, it would be haram to look at somebody like that. Even if there was no song, it would be haram to listen to something like that. Yes. So those type of things are haram. But if it's a nice song, a cultural song, a traditional song, a spiritual song, then there's nothing wrong with that type of music that just soothes you and comforts you and so on. And that's the opinion I follow anyways. And most of my teachers followed. So, yeah.
Sheikh, you had actually answered two of my questions, one of which was, what reference does the Quran and Sunnah make to music? And then also, where do we draw the line, considering what type of music we listen to and or create? But lastly, Sheikh, I would like to ask, what message do you have for the youth who find themselves in an artistic space and are currently already drawn to making music?
Final advice to our youth is that first and foremost, focus on the Holy Quran. I'm not going to call it music, but it is our melody. So contemplate on that and try to understand it. After that, I mean, our songs, our poems in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've got a very great musical and spiritual tradition in Islam. Muslims were among the greatest musicians in the world in the ancient time. So that is something they should focus on. And thirdly, I want to advise our youngsters who are into music that there's nothing wrong if you want to sing or you want to be in music, but as long as you avoid what is haram, avoid songs that are vulgar and obscene, avoid songs that promote, zina and sex and racism or violence. Give a positive message, in your songs. And if I hear a Muslim youngster making a song and giving a positive message to the youth of South Africa, telling them to stand up for their rights, give up the bad habits, and if you make a nice rap song and you use whatever instruments you want to use, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's great. As long as you produce good music with a good message to the world, there's nothing wrong with that.
Sheikh Fakhruddin Uwaisi, Jazakallah Khair for sharing your knowledge with us this evening. We do appreciate it, and may Allah continue to bless and guide you, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah Khair, Sheikh.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Shukran, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And that, of course, was Sheikh Fakhruddin Uwaisi telling us his perspective on whether or not music is halal or haram. Let us know what it is that you think. Inshallah, we do hope that the conversation was enlightening and it gave you something to think about, different perspectives, inshallah ta'ala. As a point of departure, I'd like to touch on the punchline that Sheikh Uwaisi had delivered there to us, that our main focus, inshallah, should be the Quran and Sunnah. Although the music is tempting, we need to be careful, especially us as the youth, need to be careful what it is that we're listening to, what kind of words we are pumping into our brain, what kind of melodies, because I remember reading once about how certain melodies make you move in a certain way, quite literally. So we need to watch the way that we move, the way that we speak, and believe it or not, sooner or later, if you listen to something frequently enough, you get influenced by it, whether you like it or not. It's a subconscious thing, so if you are pumping negativity or, like the Sheikh mentioned, sexual things or racist messages into your mind, you can be assured that those type of things will start creeping in, so inshallah may Allah give us strength against our nafs and make it easy for us.
Yes, like both the Sheikhs mentioned this evening, I think it's a very fine line between what is good and what is bad, and ultimately we have to take our own cognizance and make the decision for ourselves. Like Sheikh Zaid Fattah mentioned, we all are mukallaf and we are all going to stand in front of Allah one day and be questionable and answerable for the decisions that we made. So whether we are listening to the bad or the good, we have to take heed. And I think it is such a good example that Sheikh Zaid made. Whatever you are doing, ask yourself, if the Prophet was standing beside me, would I be doing it?
Absolutely. But with that, let's head out for an ad break. And when we get back, it's more Real Talk, inshallah.